It's a time when David is, at least the title in it, tells us, I'll just read that. It says, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, and he said. And so this is, again, David is reflecting on all the times of distress and troubles that he had been under, and he's just going and he's going to praise the Lord. And the first three verses where we're going to just look tonight, but if you go through the whole chapter all the way down to the 50 verses, that's what he's doing. He's talking about how great the Lord is and what the Lord's done in his life. And it's one of those things that I am trying to learn more and more how to do. Sometimes it's not easy. If you don't practice it, you don't know even what to say sometimes. Thank you for my salvation. Is that the it? Is that all? And I'm saying to myself, there's got to be more. And when you start reading the Psalms, you see there is. It's everything. And again, had an opportunity with the boys tonight. We were talking a little bit about praising the Lord. I don't know how that came up. It was in their lesson or something. And we were talking about it. And we were talking about things you could praise the Lord for. And for the very breath that we have. There's nobody on this earth that can't praise the Lord. Because you wouldn't be here. Nobody would be here if it wasn't for the Lord. We take that for granted. I know I do. But, you know, that's my life is, as a Christian, that's what I'm trying to learn is how to be more cognizant of the fact that it's all about the Lord. And that's it. And He has done these things for us and to us, and He allows us to learn of Him and learn to trust Him and to live for Him. But let me just read the three verses and we'll talk about it. We're just going to look at three points tonight, David's determination, his dependence, and his declaration in these three verses. Verse 1 says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Sometimes our enemies are ourselves. Right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And we thank you for David and his life. We thank you for other men and women in the Bible, but not only them, but those that are in this church, those that are making their way in this Christian life. And Father, how you use them and how we see in each one of our lives how you are transforming us and changing us. And Father, we just are so grateful for that. And we're so mindful of all that you've done and all that you are going to do. And we're just looking forward to how you're going to use us. And Father, we just want to seek your face and look for your direction, that we too can have this determination. And we can understand what it is to love you. We thank you for this psalm tonight, these three verses that we'll share. We pray now you guide and direct, and that, Father, again, that you'd use these to speak to my heart and to help me and all of us to be encouraged. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here, David is determined. He said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And, you know, that's really, that's that whole idea, that's that whole concept it talks about in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and Deuteronomy chapter 6, where to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength, it talks about in chapter 6. And of course, Jesus, when he asked the lawyer asked him what was the greatest commandment, Jesus told him to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. And that's what David is trying to, I guess, relay, or he's demonstrating here that he is making an effort. He is determined to love the Lord. We have to be determined to do it. It's easy to love other things. Real easy. It's easy to love ourselves. It's easy to love, you know, just the things that are out here in the world. And so often it's one of those things that maybe we just put on the back burner. And it needs to be up front. It's something we need to be determined to do. David loved the Lord with all his heart, and we know that because of all the expression and testimony we have in the Bible of that. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't really know that much about it, would we? I mean, we could guess and speculate, but when you go through and you see what the words that he's penned through the Spirit of God, you can see his life. It's open. It's clear. There's testimonies of the bad times and the good times. And he just shares it there. And it's helpful for us because we too ought to be like that, open to the Lord and to those that love the Lord as well as others. Why? Because that's how God uses us to draw others to himself. And so he loved the Lord with all his heart, even through the times of discouragement, times of near death. He never took his eyes off the Lord. Now, I'm not saying he never did, but there were times, in those times, he was there. You know, loving God is going to motivate us. Let me just read something that Hudson Taylor, about Hudson Taylor. I think I've shared this before. Hudson Taylor was interviewing some young people to go to the China Inland Mission. He was a missionary to China. And he was interviewing these people, and he asked them some practical questions just to see how well they were qualified, and trying to look for these folks who could come alongside and work with him, as a missionary in China. And he asked them the question, and why do you wish to go to a foreign mission field? Or why do you want to be a missionary? And the answers were admirable. I want to reach people for Christ. Millions are dying and going to hell. Those are good answers. I think they're excellent answers. There are people who die and they need to be saved. They need to hear about Jesus. And Hudson looked at them thoughtfully for a moment and then said, "All your motives are good," which they were, "but I fear they will fail you in times of severe testing and tribulation, especially if you are confronted with the possibility of having to face death for your testimony." He went on to say, "The only motive that will enable you to remain true is stated in 2 Corinthians 5:14, where the Bible speaks, it says, 'For the love of Christ constraineth us.'" That is the motive that's going to keep us doing what we do. Why do we do what we do? Because we love what we do. A lot of things we do, we love to do those things, right? And that's the same thing with Christ. Loving him more than anything else is going to be able to see us through, to be able to accomplish that which God has called us to do. I looked at that word constraineth. A Greek word means to hold together. The love of Christ is going to hold us together. Hold who together? Me and Christ. Me and God's people. It's going to hold us together. Just like Romans tells us, our spirit bears witness with his spirit. It's that love. It goes on, it's keep in, press. And so really what Hudson was saying was, during the tough times, the hard times, our strength will not sustain us. Our motives, though they be good, will not be good enough. It's going to take us loving God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. I will love the Lord thy God. And that's what David is kind of sharing with us today, is that same sentiment. Charles Wesley, he wrote this, "Thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all in thee I find." In other words, Christ was it. Spurgeon, he said, "I looked at him," talking about the Lord, "and he looked at me, and we were one forever." So at his salvation, or whenever he made that dedication that he's going to love the Lord with all his heart or whatever, he said, that was it. That was my carrot, if you will. You know, that's what's going to motivate me. That's what's going to drive me. That's what's going to give me success in my life, is my love for Christ and wanting to follow him, wanting to love him with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul. That word in Psalm 18, it says, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength." You know, that the word strength is translated many different ways. It uses different Hebrew and Greek words. This particular word, strength, in the Hebrew means help. It means help. He said, "I will love thee, O Lord, my help." That's who we need to rely on. That's who we need to trust. More than anything else, God will never let you and me down. Now, I'll let you down. My wife might let you down. But God will never let you down. You can trust Him. In Hebrews chapter 13, Paul writes in verses 5 and 6, he says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper." I need the Lord. I need His help. I need His help to get up out of bed every single day. I do. Every day. I have to rely on Him. And it's the help that only God can give us. And it's found through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's powerful. So David had a determination. I will love the Lord God. He also had a dependence. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, you'll see the word my, and that's personal, is it not? 9 times you'll see it. Of course, he's listing different things there. And we'll look at some of those words, but he's talking about his dependence on God. The Lord is his rock. He said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. You can see how much he relies on God. All of these different metaphors that he uses about what God means to him in his life. And if you read the rest of the chapter, you see there were a lot of things that he went through and difficulties, but he relied on God for that help. And you see it when you study the life of David many times, many things he has done in his life, the different situations. When he trusted God, God blessed him. And when he didn't, he failed. And so he's a man of experience. Experience of what it is to walk with God. And he started as a young age. I believe he was walking with the Lord when he was tending those sheep for his dad. And he grew up. And he made some mistakes. But he learned along the way. And it's the same with us. We're to grow in grace in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't happen all of a sudden. You didn't get saved and you had it all. It'd be nice if we knew it all then. You knew what you needed to know, though, because God's not going to overwhelm you and call you to do something that you're not prepared to do yet. And so we see that is true in David's life as well. So in the first 2 verses, we see 9 times my is mentioned. I believe David knew the Lord in an intimate way. And it's more than believing in God or about God or knowing there is a God. We know that. James 2:19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." My sister-in-law, every time I talk to her about the Lord, all she says, and this is all, she doesn't really want to go any farther with it than this. All you have to do is believe, right? All you have to do is believe. But it's a specific belief in a specific person of Jesus Christ. And there has to be that relationship. It's like she would say things like, "Well, surely that person must be in heaven because they were such a good person." And see, to me, that's a flyer right away, knowing that she really doesn't understand. It has nothing to do with you being a good person. It has everything to do with the relationship. And so things are revealed when you talk to people and you hear the way they talk. Now, you can maybe she just says that and that's fine, but if you talk to her a little bit more, you get to really understand what she's saying. And I understand, because that's the way we all feel to some degree. That's the flesh. That's the way we think. If you're a good person, you ought to get a good reward. Maybe if you're good enough, you can get to heaven. Well, we know better because we've seen the gospel. We've heard the gospel. We've accepted the gospel. We put our faith and trust in Christ. It's a personal relationship. Just, I believe David had this. John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him," that's him as Jesus, "to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." It's something powerful that happens in your life. The Holy Spirit is powerful. And it is real. It's not something imagined or something that's woo out there or whatever. Before I was saved, I had no idea what that was. Had no idea. Why? Because I didn't receive it. And when I put my faith and trust in Christ, something changed and I knew it. I knew I had something different in my life. Now, I had been in church for a while, so I knew a lot of verses, knew a lot of things about things. A lot of people may not see that clearly as I was able to at that time, because of where I was at that particular time. But there's power, and that power leads us or gives us the opportunity to become the sons of God for those that will believe on His name. So here David says, "The Lord is my rock." That word rock, it means to be lofty, craggy rock, okay, if you can imagine a craggy rock, or a fortress. The idea here is like a stronghold or a place of refuge. In the New Testament, Paul writes in Ephesians 2:20, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." That is our rock, Jesus Christ. That is our foundation. That's who people say, "Well, I got a go-to person." Jesus Christ should be our go-to person. Before I go to the doctor, I go to Jesus Christ. Before I go to anybody, I go to Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean I got to spend a lot of time doing that. I don't have to go anywhere. I just talk to Him. "Lord, I'm in a situation. I need some help. I need some direction. Will you please help me out here?" That's all it is. But I'm going to Him because I know He knows best. He already knows what's going to happen down the road. And He can guide me and direct me in the right places. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 2:6, says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded." There's wisdom in the rock. And that's where we get that from. He then says, in the next part, he says, "My fortress." Now, I thought, what in the world? I just saw this craggy rock. I just got this rock, a fortress thing. What's this word fortress mean? Well, it's similar, but it's different. If you look up the Hebrew word, it means a net. And you go, what in the world does that mean? Or the word capture. So let's think of it in those terms, that if God, or if the Lord is my fortress, my net, or He has me captured, I am secure. I am secure. He controls that net. He's the one who's got me captured. I thought that was pretty neat. David was secure in God's net. We too can be secure. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Paul writes this in the book of Hebrews. Of course, that's everybody. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 6. Look at verse 16. I'm just going to read down through here. Really anchoring, funny I should say that word, but anywhere around verse 19, 18, 19, and 20. In verse 16 it said, "For men verily swear by greater, an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willingly more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath." I should have read farther up, but anyway, "that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge," kind of fleeing for that refuge, becoming captured, "to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Be sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us to enter, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Basically what it's saying, we have an anchor of the soul in Jesus Christ. We are captured. We have this net about us. He is our fortress, as David says here. And David says, "He's my fortress. He's my rock." He goes on and says, "My deliverer." That word deliverer, I'm thinking someone who takes you and, you know, gets you out of a situation. Well, that's kind of what it means. It means to slip out, to escape. God is going to make the way of escape. He is going to help you slip out of a situation you're in. He promised to do that. David, many times, and he could say this because he experienced it firsthand, Saul with a javelin, you know, or when he met Saul in the cave, Or he was there by Saul when he was sleeping, and he took his bolster and his spear and stuck it up there and then climbed up on the mountain or the hill. He was able to escape many times. God delivered him out of the hand of Saul many times, and others as well. He made that way of escape. Paul, he wrote this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." The temptation comes, doesn't mean we have to follow down that track. What would be a way of escape would God give us? I was thinking a little bit about this. How can I use this verse in my life? What's my way of escape? The Word of God. If we hide the Word of God in our lives and we're tempted by something and we recall that, it will help us to not continue down that path. There's other ways, I'm sure, but I was just thinking that is so prevalent in our and can be in our lives. If we have the Word of God and we know that when we are confronted with some temptation, we know what the Bible says, we can thwart that. One that men struggle with, and not always, you can have victory over it. It's a battle, though, for many men, is looking at women who don't dress appropriately. The flesh. Looking upon a woman. The Bible says, if you look upon a woman with lust, you've committed adultery already in your heart. So I know that scripture, so how can that help me? When I'm in a situation, I think that there's something there, instead of entertaining that. Remember, God hates sin. This is sin. Do I want to commit adultery? Of course not. Can I? Yeah. We all can, can't we? But there is a way to escape. God says He's not going to make you escape. Right? You have to choose the escape. He's going to make the way, but we have to choose that way. He goes on, he says that next part, he says, "My God," and there's a comma there. Again, I think that goes back to his close relationship. This personal relationship, without it, we have no real help. There is no rock to go to. There's no fortress to surround us. There's no deliverer to show us the escape route. We need the Lord. I like that song, "I Need Thee Every Hour." It's what, I need thee every hour. Well, we could change that. I need thee every minute or moment, right? It's true. It speaks of David's security and safety in the Lord. And we know there's nobody greater, nobody that can do more for anybody than the Lord. You know, it's funny how so many times in my life I've thought about things and have to worry about things. I don't have to, but I think I have to. Okay. I put myself in that position instead of just relying on the Lord and trusting Him to help me make the decisions. And sometimes it's not something that is real hard. Most times for me, it's obvious. And yet I can still choose the wrong decision or make the wrong decision. You know, and so that's the thing, we being content with where with what you have. That is a big thing. If we can learn that, not to get ourselves out on a limb, and you know how it is when you get on the limb, you're on the backside of it, and you're sawing off. Not next to the. I've been there, done that. The fall is no fun, especially if you're high up. But He says, "My strength, in whom I will trust." That word strength, again, it means a cliff, a rock, a boulder, a refuge. It's a different word than the other strength. David knew that he couldn't rely on his own strength. He knew he had to go to God, or could go to God for refuge. He said, "In whom I will put my trust." That phrase means to flee for protection or confide in. We can trust God. We can flee to Him for protection. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. That's what that reminds me of. Just flee to Him. He is the great protector. He's the one who's going to help us more than anybody else. Paul, he understood this many times in his life. He's the one who was beaten 3 times and left for dead. And over again in his life, shipwrecked. Many things happened to him. Yet, to live as Christ and die as gain was what he said. Through all of that. Why? Because he knew what it was to love the Lord. He could say, I will love the Lord. And he made a commitment to do that. More than anything else, that was his goal, his desire. He's the one that struggled with that. He says, I'm stuck betwixt whether to stay here for your good, to help you, or to be with the Lord. Obviously, he wanted to be with the Lord, but he also wanted to do what God wanted to do. There was more suffering and pain for him to stay here than if he left and he was with the Lord. He was willing to do what God wanted him to do in that situation. You see, God has a solution. He knows what's going on no matter what the difficulty. And if we stick to Him, in Romans 8:28, it'll come to fruition. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I will love the Lord. Well, I'm sick. I've got this disease. I will love the Lord. Financial problems. I will love the Lord. And a lot of times, not all the time, but sometimes, again, I mentioned those are self-inflicted wounds. Not always, but sometimes. And when we go to that point, well, I will love the Lord. Then I'm going to put Him first. And I'm going to learn how not to get myself in that situation. And you might have to learn it more than once. I've had to learn it more times than one. And I'm still trying to figure it out. But I know that He has the way. And that's where I have to learn to draw nigh unto Him and trust Him. That's what He tells us in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And He gives a list of things prior to that. David goes on and says, my buckler. That word buckler means protector, shield. It's described as a scaly hide of an alligator. I don't know which translator put that in there. But I thought, wow, that's pretty cool, isn't it? We need some protection. We're not going to go there, but Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks about that and reminds us that we can have that armor. It's not a physical armor, it's a spiritual armor. He goes on, he says, and the horn of my salvation. That word horn means corner, peak, or ray. Also, elephant's tooth. I'm telling you, Strong's Concordance, I don't know. Might not be the all in all, but that's the idea, that peak, you know, big elephant's tooth goes to that point, I guess, or tusk, or whatever it is. It really speaks of power and strength of our salvation. Then he goes on and says, my high tower. Again, that's a cliff or other lofty or inaccessible place or refuge. Again, he's just talking about no matter what, God's in control. He's trusting God. God is all of these things. And maybe some of them seem like they're the same thing, but I think to David they meant something different. I wasn't next to him when he said these words. I didn't get to see his expression on his face or how he was, whether he's lifting up his hands. It tells us it was a song, so I don't know. Sounds like maybe he sung it. Often the Psalms were sung. But Jesus, or the Lord, was precious to David. We're out of time, but let me just give you the last point. It's just verse 3. It's not much to it that I'm going to share. But then we see David's declaration. And basically, that's the rest of the chapter, is David's declaration. But in verse 3 he says, I will call upon the Lord. Again, I will. And that's something we have to determine to do. We have to do it. We have to spend time in prayer. We have to spend time in the Word of God. We have to spend time with God. We have to determine to do it. If we don't, it won't get done. I don't know how many times I said, yeah, I'll make a commitment today. In anything you can think of. The worst one's the diet. I don't know about you. Most of you folks probably don't need a diet, but I got to have a diet all the time, it seems like, all my life. And so my diet, first off, it never starts in the middle of the week. Never. You don't start a diet in the middle of the week. You start it on Monday, okay? Never works, but that's when you start it. And if you really wait a long time, then it's January the 1st. You know, if you're really going to get serious here. Never happens, but the idea is there. But here David is talking about continually speaking to the Lord and being with Him, and it's all the time. It's not once you get going, once you make a determination to do it, you begin doing it and you stick by it. Yes, you'll miss a time or two. There'll be things that come up. You'll have to do something that maybe you, but I'll tell you, when those things happen, I guarantee you, if you make this a something that's set in your life, when you don't do it, you're going to feel like, boy, I walked out of the house without my clothes on. Or better yet, I walked out of the house without my cell phone. That's almost worse than the other. No. I mean, that's how it gets when we those things come up. And they will come up. But the point is to be determined to do it. So David's declaration, he said, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. There's nobody else worthy to be praised above God. Now, we can praise each other and we can talk to each other, but please don't forget to praise God. God uses people, and we ought to give thanks for people. But also, God lays it on the hearts of men to do what they do. It is God who deserves the praise. Always. And especially if folks are being used of God, we praise Him for those folks. Because that's what it takes, isn't it? People who are willing to let God lead them. Anybody have a quick thought? I've only got a minute. I'm already running over. I will love the Lord. I will praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for examples. We know David wasn't perfect. Of course, we know none of us are either. But we have a perfect God. And Father, help us to love You more today than we did yesterday. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.